There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Here we go, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, live on this Thursday from Gulf Coast Tools in Foley. And big thank you for the crew here for having us out, because I'll tell you this right now, it's on me that I have not been in the store before today to check it out, and now I am sold. Y'all come see what we're talking about today at Gulf Coast Tools, plus grab some great food, some FM Talk 106.5 goodies, and kick back and listen to some interviews today. Now, Tommy Tuberville was slated for 12:15. That interview's been moved, but Congressman Bradley Byrne, still running for Senate 2020, joins us later on in the show, plus Jeff Poore is going to join us to analyze some polling data out about the Senate 2020 race here in just a little bit. But I mentioned Gulf Coast Tools and Foley, and Chris has invited us out. Chris McLean, thanks for having us here.
Thank you very much, Sean.
Kick me in the backside, because, you know, we've been talking over the years, and I have not been in here. This is fantastic. Kind of your elevator speech. Somebody says, what do you do, Chris? What goes on at your store? What do you tell them?
Well, we just, we're a locally owned and operated tool store, and try to carry a wide variety of tools and name brand tools. Stuff that you won't necessarily find at other stores in the area.
Yes.
we carry Fest Tool, full-line Craig Dealer, Whiteside Router Bits, among many other things, and the Big Green Egg.
Right. Well. You've got a whole zone in the front there with the Big Green Egg.
Yes, yes.
This is talking about the tool stuff, so I'm a DeWalt fan, and walking through, so the stuff that I'm used to, that I recognize with DeWalt, things I own, and these things are there. But then, like you said, you've got... You go deep, not just horizontally with power tools, you go deep. You've got a lot of attachments and different things that I just don't see elsewhere.
Right. You know, we try to have a wide variety of stuff. So if you need something, you can come get it. You don't have to wait a day, or you don't have to wait a week or something to get it.
You think that'd
so.
Be a problem for somebody like me to say, you'll get it in a week. That's not good. I need it like an hour ago.
Right. And if you don't have it, I mean, in this day and age, people can get it delivered next day. So, if you don't have it, you can't sell it.
Well, you've got it. And what a selection here. And also, outside the power tools, you got all kind of stuff for, working around the house, working on a job site, working. I mean, I just walked down the aisles and I'm like, I need that, I need that, I need that.
Yes, sir. Automotive stuff, hobby stuff, woodworking machinery, welding machines. Just try to have it all.
Well, and you're accomplishing it too, and you got a gigantic space here to do it in. Explain folks that have not been here before, what's like the best way to say, here's how you find me?
Easiest is just we usually tell people we're right across the street from the Popeyes and the Dollar General in Foley.
All right.
Right next to the Planet Fitness.
All right. So it's a perfect description. That would help me. You find it that way. Come in and see us. Also, let me add to it, for the next couple hours, FM Talk 106.5 mobile command units out there. So if you're riding down 59, you say, why is the vehicle? That's why, because we're right here at Gulf Coast Tools. So come by and see us. We'll hook you up with some FM Talk 106.5 goodies. And your hours for people listening, planning, maybe they can't get by today. What are your hours?
We're open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday. We're open from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. And on Sundays, we're 10 to 5.
You're open on Sundays, too.
We are.
Man, that good for you. There's a lot of folks out here. We appreciate that.
Right. Well, not everyone can get to places during the week. So.
Yeah, or we forget to do something on Saturday, and it then is the project on Sunday.
Yes, sir.
That's good stuff. All right. We'll talk with you throughout the day. Thanks for having us out here. And you've got some fantastic smelling food up front. What do you got cooked here?
Right. So we're grilling some Kaneka sausage on the egg right now. Last night at... I've got an extra large egg at the house that I cook on all the time, so I smoked two Boston butts overnight and brought them in. So
y'all,
we got a bunch of pulled pork and
Smells great.
So
yeah, you're obviously very good at that too. Let's talk about that, because I got a text from somebody before I left here. Find out about the accessories for Big Green Egg.
We carry a majority of the accessories that they offer. So
okay.
And repair parts, replacement parts, consumables, the whole nine. We're a gold dealer, so we keep all five sizes in stock, all the tables, all the islands.
Oh, cool. Okay, yep. So and that's why you have like a whole section up front.
Correct.
With this. So if somebody's looking to fix a Big Green Egg, they got that. Accessories for a Big Green Egg already, or if Dad might need a Big Green Egg for Father's Day.
Exactly.
All five sizes.
Yes, sir.
How much does that the big one weigh?
I think it's 350. And then they have one larger than that, but
stout.
Yes.
Y'all come check them out today. We're here till 2 o'clock, but again, hours today till
6 o'clock p.m.
Okay. Y'all stop on by and see it. Chris, we'll talk throughout the couple hours here.
Right,
thank you for having us out.
Thanks, Sean.
All right. We'll continue on the show. Come back. We'll be joined by our buddy Jeff Poore. Jeff, of course, with Lanyap and Breitbart, also the host of his own show at WVNN. And we'll talk with him about a poll that. Now, let me tell you about this when it's a. I don't think you can actually use the term poll. They use terms like survey and ballot test. Okay. Campaigns will contract a media research group, information groups, to do surveys. Now, I'm not saying that the information's not accurate, but you have to know where information comes from. There are independent polls, and then there are polls that are done my specific groups, right? Okay, so everybody knows that going into it. This survey that's come out, that's conducted by the Moore Information Group, that was paid for by the Tommy Tuberville campaign, and has provided some stats here. According to their survey, that consisted of 650 likely Republican voters, margin of error plus or minus 4%. Okay. So, but this is something at least to consume in the Senate race, because we've not, and since that Mason-Dixon poll we had about a month and a half ago, we really have not had a lot of new information. That one showed Tommy Tuberville behind Roy Moore in the state. This one, and remember, Roy Moore is not even announced officially, but in this case, this statewide ballot test, this survey that was paid for by the Tuberville Group, has come out with some stats here. When we get back, we're going to talk about this with Jeff Poore. It shows Tommy Tuberville leading overall in the state, but gets into favorability numbers and does something I think really interesting, breaks his favorability ratings down by region of the state, and there's some big swings in that. We'll talk about that. Jeff joins us, and coming up at 1 o'clock, a little after 1 o'clock, Congressman Bradley Byrne, he's running for Senate as well. He joins us right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. We are live from Gulf Coast Tools in Foley. Appreciate the folks that have shown up right now. Ran out to do some things on the mobile command unit and already seeing folks here getting lunch. We also have the FM Talk 106.5, the new run of Huggers. We'll hand some of those out to you when you stop on by and see us here. Gulf Coast Tools at Foley. If you think about that Big Green Egg for Dad for Father's Day, or think about one for yourself, they got a huge selection. And if you're like me, lucky enough to have one, you're looking for accessories, repair parts, I mean, they got a whole section of Gulf Coast Tools dedicated to the Big Green Egg. So stop on by and check it out. All right, y'all say hello to my friend Jeff Poore with Lanyap, Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, and of course the Jeff Poore Show on WVNN in Huntsville. Hey, man.
Hey, what's going on, Sean?
Man, I'm trying to make some sense of this. So I'm looking through some stats, and I kind of laid this out in the first segment of the show and told people what, you know, some of the information came out today, this ballot test, this let's see, the best way to put it, a survey. I mean, is this campaigns, explain that to folks. Campaigns will have groups do surveys for them, right? They're polls, but they're paid for by the campaign.
Right, and they'll ask the questions in a way just to kind of gauge the temperature of the room or whatever, so they know what they need to work on. They know the messaging, they know who their biggest competitor is, and if they should choose to go negative, they know who to target. Campaigns do this all the time. Occasionally, when the poll results are really good for a particular candidate, they will link them to the media, as Tommy Tuberville had in this instance.
Right. So that's what I want people. I'm not saying that people didn't answer questions. I mean, it says 650 people in the survey. I think all that's true, and not that these are completely discountable, but I think it's fair that people don't confuse those with, you know, a fully independent poll where the questions were of an independent nature, right?
Right. Well, and to be honest with you, Sean, I think that a lot of these campaigns, the polling they do, is often a lot better than what you see in the media. The media polling is for news consumers, whereas the campaign polling tends to be a little more professional. There's more on the line than just having an interesting story or something like that. So, I mean, it just depends on how it's conducted or who does it. Oftentimes, I think the polling that these campaigns do is more reliable than that on than that of a lot of media outlets.
All right, so now that we've teased this up to a fevered pitch, let's talk about some of these results from this Tuberville survey. And they call this first part the statewide ballot test. So this is people who are declared candidates for Senate 2020 and people that are, I guess, probables or strong maybes for Senate. And they come back in this and have, in all but one of these, y'all, they have Tommy Tuberville leading the pack, 23%. Over Roy Moore's 18%, over Bradley Burns 16%, over John Merrill's 7%, Arnold Mooney 2%, 6% other, and 28%. The majority of folks don't know.
Yeah, a lot of undecideds in that poll. I think a third of them were undecided. To me, this is this poll, this early out, it seems to be more of a name ID poll. Look who's at the top of it. Maybe that gap gets a little bit better for Bradley Burns. I think over time, if he can keep this pace up, and he's at a pretty good pace right now, just being everywhere, a very John Merrill-esque, if you will. If he can keep that up, then maybe he can gain some ground.
I'm looking at too the and then I'm going to break it down where something you and I talk about at length shows up in this poll, the different media markets or different regions of our state and how those percentages will shift on name recognition and support. But before that, you know, they talk about, and this is something that Mason-Dixon poll did as well, they had name ID, but beyond the name ID, they did, is that name a positive or a negative, right? So, you know, the favorable versus unfavorable. And
right.
It's interesting because you can have somebody with great name ID, but then people, you know, say, oh, I know who that person is, but I don't like them. And it was interesting. So they had Tommy Tuberville in with 49% favorable, 17% unfavorable. Then you look at the next person underneath him, Roy Moore, 38% favorable, 48% unfavorable. Once again, y'all, this comes from a survey done that was paid for by the campaign here for Tommy Tuberville. But that is interesting. I mean, both in the first of all, that he has less name ID, way less name ID than Tommy Tuberville, and higher unfavorability.
I mean, it's a peculiar situation, but we know the saga, we know the history in the state, and I think that's where that comes from.
All right, and coming in third on that, but well down the list, is AL1's Congressman, candidate for Senate, Bradley Byrne, 35% favorable, 16% unfavorable. So those are good, the unfavorable numbers. But that overall number, the first number, is lower by 3 than Roy Moore and by a considerable amount, with 14% below Tommy Tuberville.
Yeah, and that says they got a lot of work to do. I think it's more of a product of being an unknown. Which, in this day and age, we talk about that stuff all the time, but you sometimes forget that these aren't household names in other parts of the state.
No, I agree, but I guess the one that really, the gap between Tuberville and Moore surprised me, you know, and you, I'm going to let you take a victory lap because you've long contended that Tommy Tuberville's name recognition was a good bit more than Roy Moore's. I thought it was a little bit more, but not that much. And in this thing, they're saying, 49% to 38%. So,
that's a significant gap, too. So, what happens once we start getting into the campaign? I think some of that name ID value goes down. I don't think it ever goes away. Then it just depends on the survey, right?
Right.
But I do think that gap kind of closes a little bit once we get closer to March.
They went on here and said, among voters now, they're breaking, you know, they're taking the overall numbers and they're breaking down on different metrics. On this question, among favorability ratings, they said this was out of people that identified as very conservative. And in that, 25% for Tommy Tuberville, 22% for Roy Moore. I thought that one left me kind of leaning for a second. 18% for Bradley Byrne, 7% John Merrill, 4% for Arnold Mooney.
Yeah, and it seems to kind of go along with the results, the overall results in the poll. The more people know about a guy, the more they have an opinion of the guy. So, read it to it what you will. The results are a little surprising at the top end, but I think once you go down through the poll, it does. There is a degree of rationale there.
And then they went into the, they said, well, then there's the somewhat or somewhat conservative, and they did it again. And then they said, among voters identifying as moderate, 17% of the vote, you have, in that case, Bradley Byrne coming in second to Tommy Tuberville and besting Roy Moore. I wonder if they released that as somewhat of a slight at the same time. Like, look at our person. No, by the way, see what happens here.
Yeah, to make it look like Bradley Byrne is more of the squish. That's a possibility. Here's the thing, Sean. I don't know, though. We have a lot of moderates in Alabama that participate in Republican primaries.
Sure.
There's some. But I think your primary voter tends to be more further to the right than your general election voter, Republican. Because the Republicans who vote in these primaries are the grassroots and the activists and the guys that are really motivated to get out and vote.
So this is the part of it that I thought was different than I had seen. Not that this has never been done, but usually it's not released when campaigns do this. And that is they did a breakdown of these 650 people they surveyed, their preference broken down now by media market. And this is something that you've talked at length with us about, where you have to win in Alabama. You know, you talked to us about the Shelby County, you talk about North Alabama. We've been talking about, you know, what Baldwin County and Mobile County mean in this mix as well. But they broke it down by media market, and the big one, the big Megillah, we've seen it every election where they pour all the resources into, and that's the Birmingham market, where they have Tommy Tuberville with that pretty much steady 23% support, Roy Moore at 19%, and Bradley Byrne at 12%. I would argue that's not a bad place to be early on for Bradley Byrne, that he's within striking distance of Roy Moore, if that's valid.
Yeah, and in the Birmingham markets were these consultants and these national campaign pollsters and consultants like to play. We've seen them before over and over again. And if there's a place that they can really be valuable to somebody like Bradley Byrne, it's probably in that Birmingham market. Or they could just, you don't need necessarily the grassroots campaign. You could just carpet bomb the airwaves and raise that name ID because there's so many people there. And they like to, and these national campaigns, I don't think it's a winning strategy, but they like to run up a score in the Birmingham market.
Well, they're going to have a hard time running up the score on Bradley Byrne in the Mobile media market by this stat, with Mobile market 50%. Bradley Byrne. And listen, you got it. I mean, that's your home. That's hometown. That you got to do your home cooking there. And that's pretty strong home cooking. That percentage of support is the highest of anybody, any name in this entire survey.
Right. And I wonder, though, what does that mean for the Mobile market? Are these candidates going to say, well, Bradley Byrne's going to win that anyway, we're not going to come down there and play? Or does it mean Bradley Byrne just assumes that he has it sewn up and he's not going to go into the Mobile market and because it's not a cheap market. I mean, half, or I'd say about a third of it, if not more, is Florida. So you're really just throwing money away to some degree. But
don't say that at all, because when they bring Florida money here into our radio station in Alabama and spend it, I think it's a wise decision.
Yeah, but when you talk to these campaign guys, that's their biggest complaint, that, well, Mobile's tough because it's expensive and you only get half the bang for your buck. So we're better off in trying to go where there are more fish into the Birmingham market. I mean, that's just the problem of having it split between two states.
It is interesting, and I won't go through all the other, but they do a breakdown for where you are up in Huntsville. Of course, that's the strongest of the numbers for Tommy Tuberville in the state. But elsewhere, I mean, Tuberville wins every other media market, but not by huge amounts. But yeah, Mobile, where it is, I mean, it's overwhelmingly 50% Bradley Byrne. Next on the list, Roy Moore, 14%, and then Tuberville at 12%. You think he would open a satellite office and camp out down here?
Yeah. Well, I wonder how much time people are going to actually spend down there and try to woo the voters and your listening audience. Like, how much is it worth it? Can you really pull it off? So that remains to be seen how they're going to tackle the state. As I always said, man, this is a very tribal state, and I think you need a multifaceted approach to win a statewide election.
All right, coming right back, more with Jeff Bohr, and we'll analyze some more of these numbers from this early ballot test they're talking about here, and see how it might be reflected in who is campaigning, and some of the names that haven't even officially announced. What about John Merrill? I mean, something might happen this month. He announces, would he be down here, and is he working for Senate 2020 or an election to come? We'll talk about that and more when we return. We're live at Gulf Coast Tools. Come see us in Fulton.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5, and we are live with Midday Mobile at Gulf Coast Tools in Foley. You're rolling down 59 saying, I wonder why the FM Talk 106.5 mobile command unit is doing well. It's out here in front because we'd love you to stop on by and grab lunch with us first. I know Chris McClain, he just had a bunch. He did, what, I think two or three Boston Butts he smoked on one of those big green eggs. Looks fantastic, smells fantastic, plus Kaneka sausage they're cooking. So stop on by and grab some lunch with us, FM Talk 106.5. The new run of Huggers, we got those out here today, and some other goodies when you stop on by and say hello. And check out the big green eggs for Father's Day for Dad, or the huge selection of power equipment. Just the DeWalt section, which I'm lucky, I'm inside, so if you show up, you want to come wave at me, I'm inside the store, and I'm right by the end of the DeWalt section, which is good because it's my favorite stuff, and I'm envying, just sitting here envious of the big selection, and I'm going to go out there during the break and look at more of that. So come by and see us, Gulf Coast Tools in Foley. All right, continue our conversation with Jeff Bohr. Jeff with Land Yap and Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, and of course the host, the namesake of the Jeff Bohr Show on WVNN. All right, looking through these numbers here, and then I want to jump to a couple other things, but this is, I guess, the reason I jump on this. Number one, you said these numbers are sometimes from when campaigns do their own polling are pretty good. And also I have to argue there's been, you know, what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks since we've had any kind of specific information about the Senate race.
Right. And the reason that they're not always good, but when they get leaked to the media, they tend to be they tend to be flattering numbers. So oftentimes campaigns will do polling, but you may not necessarily see them for public consumption. When you do, then there's something at play there. And it might even be that they put these poll numbers out there thinking this will really help our fundraising, because somebody will say, well, I saw that on Yellowhammer News or Alabama Daily News or whatever. This might be the guy I want to back.
And that is the game being played right now. Sure, they want to solicit votes for next year. But this is the fundraising election that's going on right now.
I think the most part, yeah, the fundraising and there's some other things. Because we know in Alabama, what did we learn about Luther Strange, who outraised Roy Moore like 20-1 or something? How'd that work out, right?
Right. So, but that money came from out of state more than in state, right? That money was coming from out of state.
Yeah. But that's important, too. But you can't just buy the election. You can't just carpet bomb the airways. I mean, Alabama voters are very fickle about that, and I just there's a lot more involved. There's a certain charisma, there's a certain values, a belief system and values. I mean, you look at Luther Strange on paper, they did everything that you would think that you would have to do. They had Trump's endorsement. They got him to come to Alabama
right.
to put on a rally for him, and he had all the money, and he had ads on every channel, every nook and cranny of the state. You could drive to Greenville, Alabama, or wherever, and you would see a big giant Luther Strange sign. He still lost that election. And that, to me, you know, that the fundraising is important, but I think it's more about kind of getting a broader understanding of the state and Well, the thing that Bradley Byrd is doing right now, pretty smart, and he's going to these different areas. He's finding the popular politician, right, to sort of get the backing. So Gary Cooler, the mayor of Opelika, endorses Bradley Byrd. That means something, I think. It's going to mean something in the long run. So can that, if I'm Bradley Byrd and I know the obstacles I got before me to get to the Republican nomination, that's probably my approach, is to really sew it up locally as I can. And you got a little bit of time here, so it doesn't hurt that he's starting this early.
No, absolutely. And this is like when you look at the flip side here, that's what I was commenting on. If you were Tupperville and taking that same, even though you don't have a election to look back at and see where you didn't do as good as other places, like Congressman Byrne does, but you can look at your own polling here that shows you that you're third on, you go from first on the stack in every other media market in the state to third on the stack in Mobile.
Yeah, but you know, that's a product of Bradley Byrne being there, right? That's his backyard. And then I think, given that, it's more of a flip-flop game, right? That maybe if Bradley, you take Bradley out of that, and you take, he's not a choice in the Mobile market, but then probably a lot of people's preference might be Tupperville. But you have a guy there with a sort of a ceiling and a floor, right, with Roy Moore, that's never going to drop or fall or drop.
Yeah, and that's one thing we talked about going into the special, and there was that ceiling, or there was the floor for sure, but then the ceiling. Although, let me point out, I mean, he won, didn't he?
Yeah, and I've never bought into that. That was just hot taking from the D.C. consulting class that Roy Moore had a ceiling and that Luther Strange could hold him there and win it. And just by being Luther Strange, he didn't have to do anything else. That ceiling could exceed that ceiling. I'm still of the opinion that Roy Moore, I think these numbers are very good for him. Probably a little too rosy. But I still think he's, if given the right circumstances, he could certainly exceed that ceiling. But I think you have just a better slate of candidates this time than what you had in 2017.
So does, looking at these numbers, if he did, even though they would know, you know, how these numbers were produced, they realize that they're obviously been doing this for a long time, but they saw this, would this get us a better chance or a smaller chance of having an announcement from Roy Moore that he's in?
I think he's getting in. There's no doubt
when?
About it. I'm almost 99% sure he's going to get in. I think we're just, they're at the same place where the Maryland campaign is. They're trying to get the right team together. Try to get the right folks together, and
like you didn't know this was coming. I mean, this is
have a staff ready to go when they hit the ground running.
I mean, but they knew it was the idea of having a staff. I'm surprised a lot of times, because if you're somebody that knows you want to run, you know when the election's coming. I mean, it's not going to jump out from the bushes and scare you. Know when it's coming. You knew when the regular election was coming after the special,
right? But I would add this though, that you didn't know the legal troubles that that he was facing with the defamation lawsuit, and they think they could get that put behind them. But also, I think that maybe they did their own polling to get the temperature of what's going on and saw that they're doing a little bit better. They're doing a lot better than they thought they would be doing. And here we are. He's the unannounced candidate. He's right in the thick of it, right? I mean, he hasn't gone to a single campaign event. He hasn't done anything, made a single phone call. And according to this poll, he's still running ahead of Bradley Byrd, who's been running for the last few months.
Yes, true, and that's a name ID thing as well. So what about this? So then let's talk about another name that might get in. You know, he gave us a deadline. You and I had heard a deadline that was Memorial Day, and now there's a new deadline, self-imposed, I guess, this month for Secretary of State John Merrill to announce whether he's going to run for Senate or not.
I feel like I'm about 80% sure he's going to run. It's a win-win scenario. He's not going to, if he loses the primary, guess what? He gets to go back home and he gets to remain Secretary of State of Alabama. So there's no loss there. But I've always thought with John Merrill, his dream job as governor of Alabama, if he runs now, then he gets that get acquainted race, what Steve Flowers likes to call it. It's a you get acquainted race, you run, you do all the events, you go to all the fish fries and pancake breakfasts, and you go to all the Republican meetings, you go to every Western sizzle in between Scottsboro and Butler, and you get known throughout the state, didn't win, you run again a second time for governor, presumably when Kay Ivey's term is up, you at least people have kind of know who you are. That's why you'll have a little bit of name ID to build off of.
Okay, so he has already been doing that, though, right? I mean, as his position as Secretary of State, you point out this guy's a retail politician's retail politician.
Yeah, to some degree, but the crowds and circles that he goes and visits to these places, they're not just your average voter. They tend to be people that are involved in politics to some degree. They work for the probate judge, or they're activists in the Republican Party. That's been where he's been going to all these places. I think as a real legitimate political candidate, it changes. He starts going to some other types of venues and seeing some other types of audiences, and then that makes a whole difference. That'll make it a lot different than what he's doing now.
Just joining us, talking to Jeff Poore with WVNN and his aptly named Jeff Poore Show. Also his work in Landnap, Breitbart, Yellowhammer News. And I want to, one last thing here. You put this up on Twitter yesterday, and I grinned about it because all the satirical commentary that maybe I have done over the months, even before session, that maybe we should have done two subjects the state wanted to deal with in one, and we should have combined the lottery with funding of Alabama prisons and or building it and reform. And now there's some discussion. Is this really happening, that they're saying maybe the lotteries will come up during special session on prison?
I think that's a little happy talk from our friend Del Marsh, who's the state Senate president. The other guys in the room that are talking about it, Cam Ward and others that are really the big players in this whole prison push, don't think it's going to be a possibility. We're not going to see a lottery passed. They may try it, but, you know, as with a special session when the governor calls it, there's a certain set of parameters that they have to adhere to. And I think it's kind of a major ask to get to where you could be in a special session to get a lottery.
Yeah, it is, but in a special session, if you can argue that it's germane to that thing, right? If Governor Ivey says, okay, she says it's a special session for the prisons, but you can say this lottery is the funding mechanism for these reforms going on, these build outs, isn't that arguably something that could be in that special session? You couldn't say, well, this doesn't have anything to do with it, because it could.
Possibly, but the people in this state, the people in the legislature, particularly the House representatives, I think, want that lottery money to go toward education. They want it to go toward other stuff and not the general fund. It's certainly not to prisons. So the idea that you could do a lottery in a special session and get away with it and have the legislature not be screaming bloody murder about it, I think it's just kind of a reach.
The idea that you could get away with raising the gas tax in a special session and not have any... Oh, wait, they did that.
Well, they had a certain set of parameters with the gas tax. They had roads, and we knew it was going to go. They weren't going to take the gas tax upon schools, or they were going to take the gas tax upon prisons. I'm not saying that it's the ideological component. I'm just saying the parliamentary component.
Gotcha. Because ideologically, I mean, you've talked about it, we've talked about it at length, that there's probably a big contingent of people in Alabama that are pro-lottery, no matter what it's... They really don't care what it supports. They just want a lottery.
Yeah, and as my colleague up here at WVNN, Dale Jackson, says, if the money could go for ISIS, people in Alabama would vote for the lottery, probably. Obviously, it'd be a little tongue-in-cheek there. But I do think that we read way too much into where the money's going to go. And I think that thing with the lottery, dude, is just, that's a convenient excuse. The real rub is the Sports Creek Dog Track Casino rivalry, whatever you want to call it, competition. That's why you don't have a lottery. That's the real reason. If you didn't have that, then we would figure out the funding.
There we go. That's why we talked to our buddy Jeff Ford, because he is in on what's happening in Montgomery and elsewhere. And if people want to reach out to you, read more about what you're writing or what you're saying, where do they go?
Twitter.com/Jeff_Poor.
Thank you, man. All right, coming right back, more of Midday Mobile. We are live at Gulf Coast Tools in Foley. And the name mentioned this hour quite a few times in this polling information and discussion of Senate 2020. The first name in was AL1's Congressman Bradley Byrne. He joins us a little after 1 o'clock, and we'll come right back and talk about what you can do for Father's Day, big green egg-wise, right here at Gulf Coast Tools. You'll love it. Come by and have lunch with us, too.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. We are live in Foley today at Gulf Coast Tools, and a lot of friends and some new faces as well out front as I just walked out out towards the FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Command Unit. You'll see it right here on Highway 59 in Foley. Pull in and say hello, and we got great gift ideas for Dad. Of course, Father's Day coming up on Sunday. Another great idea for Dad is Harry's. I've been shaving with Harry's for, what, four and a half years now, and been telling you about how much I love it. Right now, you can give that gift to Dad and do it at a, this is the best price I've ever seen. And like I said, I've been talking about Harry's, telling you about them for 4+ years, and this is the best deal. So here's how it works. Right now, Harry's has a special offer for Father's Day. You'll get $5 off the Harry shave set, and you can treat yourself or Dad or whomever you're going to buy this for to a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover when you use my code MOBILE at harrys.com. Right? So I've told you over the time that I love the convenience of having the blade show up at my house. I love the shave with Harry's. And of course, the price. Half of what you're paying right now for replacement blades at the grocery store or the pharmacy. You can get those quality German engineered blades from Harry's. Dad's going to love it, and you're going to love the price. And he won't overpay going forward with Harry's because the blades are $2 each, like half the price of what others are paying. So this Father's Day, Harry's has a special offer for y'all. Get $5 off a shave set from Harry's with code MOBILE at harrys.com. Means you get a razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3, plus free shipping when you use code MOBILE at harrys.com. Go to harrys.com today, use code MOBILE at checkout, and claim your offer, and let them know I sent you. Help support the show when you use that code MOBILE. All right, so a couple things coming up. So next hour, Congressman Byrne joins us. We'll talk with him as we're looking at Senate 2020 in the early stages, but he was the first in. He also leads the fundraising out there, and his numbers down here in our neck of the woods, well, pretty fantastic, even in a poll that was conducted by the Tommy Tuberville campaign. But elsewhere in the state, those are the challenges. That's where he's spending more time campaigning than back here at home, obviously. So what places does he think he needs to win? And we're going to ask him a handful of questions here, too, about what's going on in Washington right now. And we'll do that coming up after the top of the hour news. All right. And I mentioned with Jeff, yeah, that story that State Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh is saying, at least maybe, and maybe he's just throwing the spaghetti against the wall to see what sticks, but maybe they would talk about the lottery during the prison special session. Stranger things have happened in Alabama politics of late, so I wouldn't say it's an impossibility. But how are they going to finance it? What would you, you know, I've made my jokes from way back when I started making the joke about the lottery, and now all of a sudden Senate President Pro Tem is talking about that. I've also made the joke about we get a license, a specialty license plate, just like the Helping Schools one, but this would be helping prisons. But with the lampooning aside, what I'm asking is, where are we going to get the money? Here's the problem. This is one of these you can't say no to. You know, we can talk about bridge and bridge tolling. We can talk about different issues and go, well, you know what? If we don't have the money for it, we don't have the money. We don't get it. In this case, you have the real threat of federal receivership for Alabama prisons. What happens then? Well, all these changes will be made, and the feds will send us the bill. We'll have to pay it, and we won't make the decision as a state. The feds do it. And mind you, this is not something to wait out. This is not President Obama's Justice Department. This is President Trump's Justice Department. And they're saying Alabama has to make these changes to the prison or they're going to be a violation, the prison system. And there's a lot of them. There's some that are physical structure issues, being it overcapacity and having to build out or find more facilities to house prisoners in. We are at 100, and I think we're down from 193 to like 173% of capacity. So we've made some improvements there, but not enough to get the feds off our back. Okay. Then you had the mental health issues and others in the Alabama prisons that might be addressed for less money than building a new prison, but still things that cost and could cost the state a whole bunch. So you go in this special session and you say, okay, here are all the things. They already know what has to be done. The Justice Department sent us a letter. We, the people of the state of Alabama, sent us a letter saying, you're in violation here, 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 here. I'm down the list. Here are the things that you're not doing correct, and you have to correct them. So we have, thank goodness, a punch list, but these things cost money. Go into special session. You now know what you have to fix. The heavy lift is where you're going to come up with the money. And this issue has been an issue for our state for a long time. We've been talking about this on this show since Governor Bentley was there, since he was governor, not former governor. Remember? And at that point, we had a commission set up by former Governor Bentley to address prison issues and to find a way through it. Well, the political will was not there to find funding for this, which is sad because you would argue that this is not a want to, this is a have to. And that the politicians wouldn't campaign or talk about this when it came time to go vote because they figured you wouldn't like to hear it. So they kicked the can down the road to the beginning of the quadrennium, and now we're faced with it. So why is a prison lottery such a bad idea, huh? Or prison license plates, right? Well, all right, we'll address your thoughts on that from the text line coming up in just a little bit. And we're coming right back. We are live at Gulf Coast Tools. This is Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.